20 of the worst things that recruiters do. At the Brooks Group, we've assembled a list of the top 20 worst things that we've seen salespeople, and that includes recruiters, do in all our years in the business. Things that are likely to derail their careers. We will now go through them and discuss each one in some detail. Number 1. They don't become a student of their craft. Usually, recruiters start out with a lot of enthusiasm, but after a few years, their enthusiasm diminishes and they neglect to improve their professional knowledge and their selling skills. They're less likely to attend training meetings. They don't read books, listen to audios, or view videos on sales-related topics. They don't consistently pursue professional development or reinvigorate themselves. The best recruiters are always open to learning new things. They look forward to their training meetings, and sometimes they even teach the lesson. Experts often say if you really want to learn something, teach it. Top recruiters also research their target markets to see how they're evolving and learn everything they can about what the Air Force Reserve can offer new unit members. Look at it this way. If you can integrate one new idea into what you're already doing, it's well worth the time and energy. It's amazing to see recruiters who don't invest in their own professional growth. We're in a profession that's changing by leaps and bounds. Therefore, if you take your profession very seriously, you need to study and master your craft. The second mistake recruiters make is they don't find their niche market. Recruiters don't become specialists at one or two of their target segments. For example, the Air Force Reserve recruits non-prior service applicants, prior service Air Force applicants, and prior service applicants from other branches. Those categories can be further broken down into officer, enlisted, line, medical corps, etc. Some recruiters make the mistake of trying to work every one of these markets the same way at the same time. The most successful recruiters really master the art of finding their niche, the target segments to recruit into where they are most comfortable and most successful. For example, they become well-known specialists in selling the non-prior enlisted program or for working prior service Air Force leads. It's easier and more effective to become an expert in a couple of niche markets than to try and learn a great deal about every market the Air Force Reserve recruits from. Third, they fail to position themselves correctly. The way people position themselves really determines how they're seen by their leads and applicants. People pay attention to people who they perceive as having something important to say to them. You need to position yourself as an expert on the Air Force Reserve and what it has to offer. This can be accomplished through presentations at schools, association meetings and commander's calls, or written publications. The best way to recruit is not to position yourself as a recruiter, but to position yourself as an expert. Number 4, they fail to prospect. The biggest cause of failure for recruiters is that they don't adequately prospect. The use of digital technology can make it seamless, simple, and easy to deploy an effective prospecting strategy into the marketplace. Number 5, they get in front of the wrong people. You can't make goals selling the Air Force Reserve opportunity to unqualified leads. You have to be in front of leads who have the authority to make a decision and qualify for the Air Force Reserve opportunity. Have a need or perceived problem. Have a relative sense of urgency about joining. They are willing to listen to you and they trust you. Don't confuse activity with results. Your own self-image, your sense of self-worth, and how well you've positioned yourself, they're all going to affect whether you're in front of the right people. Number 6, they listen to the wrong peers. Simply put, they talk to other recruiters who are struggling and get negative input. They hear negative comments like, "That stuff doesn't work in this territory," "You don't need to follow the impact selling process," or "We can't match what the other services offer," "The bonuses aren't high enough," "The people in this zone can't pass the tests," etc. It goes on and on and on. Don't listen to them. Listen to positive, upbeat words that make you feel good, whether it's a successful peer, music you enjoy, or motivational content. Number 7. They don't focus on the value of the Air Force Reserve opportunity. Too many recruiters worry about what the applicant is going to think about the commitment, the time, freedoms, and other tangible and intangible things it costs to join the Air Force Reserve. Instead, their focus should be on the value they're providing to someone who joins the Air Force Reserve. Recruiters should start thinking of the Air Force Reserve opportunity the way a person thinks about a savings plan investment. A person pays something up front to receive a lot more in return. Number 8. They misuse or abuse government resources. It may be tempting to borrow the government car, use your government phone to make personal long-distance calls, or use the government travel credit card for a personal purchase. All of these acts are basically stealing and are illegal. Using the government travel card for unofficial or personal purchases has become one of the leading reasons recruiters are relieved of duty. Don't make the same mistake. Number 9. They fail to ask the right questions. Not only did they fail to ask the right questions, but maybe they failed to ask any questions, or did they ask questions but didn't listen to the answers. Take an honest look at how you interact with your applicants. Are you asking the right questions? Do you listen to the answers? Do you write them down? Do you ask questions in the right way? Do you ask them in the right sequence? Can you build from one question to the next? Are you anticipating what you're going to say next instead of listening to what they're saying now? Are you thinking about what you're going to say next? Recruiters sometimes fail to ask the right questions, which means they're not paying attention to the applicant. We cannot emphasize that enough. Number 10. They are either digitally compulsive or digitally impaired. In other words, they're so compulsive about this digital technology that they spend all of their time on the internet, in software programs, or email. The extreme opposite are the technologically challenged, who are not interested or are unskilled in the digital world. The most ideal and successful person is going to be the one who falls somewhere in the middle with digital technology. Bottom line, you should not be sitting in front of your computer screen all day long. You need to have direct contact with your leads, applicants, and influencers. Computer technology is a tool. When you have a tool like Afris, use as needed, but maintain direct contact with your candidates. Number 11. They fail to manage their time well. The most important asset recruiters have is time, and how you use it will determine a lot of your success. It is key to maximize your time when you're in front of a recruit. I'm sure you already know this. There's a direct correlation between how many calls you make and how many you receive. Furthermore, how much time do you spend making the calls, and how do you handle them when they call back? Everything fits in the context of time. Someone that doesn't manage their time well is not going to be successful. This is particularly true in recruiting. Number 12. They're either too timid or too aggressive. We all know the importance of being self-aware. It is equally important to know when you need to shift your natural style one way or the other based on your audience. You can just as easily fail at recruiting by being too aggressive as you can by being timid. Isn't it one of the myths that are out there? He'll be a great recruiter because he's very aggressive and very assertive. Well, if that behavior is misapplied, then maybe not. If someone is always aggressive or too aggressive, it can have a negative impact instead of the desired one of gaining trust and confidence, therefore not gaining desired accessions. There are strategies you can use to prepare for situations when you realize that you need to adjust your approach, especially if the one that comes naturally to you is not working. Number 13. They fail to match the Air Force Reserve's offering to what the applicant is really looking for. In other words, they don't apply the right solution. They aren't practicing application-based selling. For example, they pitch money for college, high-tech training, and extra income because these are the three things they believe most applicants want to hear, regardless of what this specific applicant says is important. It's imperative to ask the right questions when someone comes in and then always listen to what they say is important. I know I can sell these three things, so I'm always going to hit them with these features, regardless of what the applicant says is important. If they don't apply the right solution for that specific person, then they can be in trouble. Number 14. They can't deal with change. Another mistake recruiters make is not handling change successfully. Either they can't deal with the new way things are happening in the Air Force Reserve, and they don't know how to react, or they themselves are constantly changing, and then they have no success track to run on. That's why maintaining balance is so critical. How do you balance change? How do you balance application? How do you balance the right questions? How do you balance your time? What we've discovered is that when someone understands this balance and they get into the groove, It's kind of like an athletic team when they get the momentum. They keep it moving. Momentum for recruiters is balance, and perhaps that's as old as history. Learning how to navigate through change is critical. Number 15. They place themselves into a situation in their personal life that fails to deliver an adequate support system. If you have something going on in your personal life that does not lend itself to giving you total and complete support in your professional life, what often happens is you either do tension-relieving activities on the job so that you don't think about the bad issues, or you try to escape the bad issues. If you're not really disciplined, you tend to let those other issues influence you on the job. When that happens, you don't perform to the optimum. All three of those scenarios are bad. You have a sphere of influence in your life, which can be positive or negative. If it's negative, it must be addressed, whether it's the people that you hang out with, or it's the relationship with your family and other important people in your life. Finding a professional mentor can be very beneficial if other personal relations are stressful or less supportive. You have to be able to truly rely on others to make it through difficult situations. So be very careful who you pick to play the key roles in your life. Number 16. They fail to pre-call plan and prepare for their calls. In other words, what happens is they just aren't organized. Top recruiters invest time preparing for important presentations they will give to their leads, applicants, influencers, or staff agencies in their organization. They know they may get only one good shot at a particular applicant, or one shot to win someone's support and cooperation, so they take those opportunities very seriously. So what do you need to do? What does planning mean? It means understanding your competition, positioning yourself correctly, wearing the right uniform, having the right material, having the right sales aids, the right sales tools, understanding the formal and the informal structure of the organization, following the impact sales process, and pre-preparing your questions. All of this has to be done ahead of time. Even the best recruiters, the ones who have been successful for 5 or 10 years, still invest a huge amount of time preparing for their appointments and presentations. Unfortunately, with recruiters, far too many think that they can wing their way through anything. Here's number 17. They never learn how to ask the right questions. Now, that's as obvious as it seems. It's also fundamentally basic. When you've got a big presentation or an opportunity to be in front of somebody, when you're going to get that probe step, you've got to actually sit down and design and craft your questions ahead of time. That's very valuable time spent. Let's take a look at 18. They don't understand that providing service is part of recruiting. A recruiter once told one of our trainers, "When I was an active duty recruiter, my job was to send people to basic training. Rarely did I see my applicants after they joined. In fact, some recruiters used to say, 'Kiss 'em and ship 'em.' In the Air Force Reserve, it's different. My applicants come back home after basic training, and often they give me feedback about their enlistment and training experiences." There's more to it than that. Not only are your accessions going to let you know how they did, they're going to tell their friends, neighbors, and relatives about you too. Regrettably, some recruiters think it's only up to the gaining unit to welcome and look out for the new unit member. They figure they can only recruit that member once. After that, it's up to their unit or support offices to answer the member's questions and keep them happy. On the other hand, smart recruiters follow the progress of the people they recruit. For example, they check in with the person's family while the new member is away at basic training or tech school. And when that new reservist finishes their basic training and tech school, they welcome them back home and visit them during their first drill weekend, perhaps even joining them for lunch. Why? Because you want to build that reputation as a recruiter who promises a lot and delivers more. Providing service after the applicant has become a unit member is still part of the sale, a future sale when you use that satisfied unit member as a referral source. Number 19. They fail to provide value-added solutions. They offer only one solution, just one benefit for joining the Air Force Reserve. This happens because they don't probe deep enough to uncover multiple stars. Instead, they jump after the first need identified by the applicant and unload every bit of information they can about that one feature. For example, when an 18-year-old, non-prior service applicant says they plan to go to college, The recruiter too often focuses on educational assistance only, instead of also finding out if the applicant has interests in traveling, job satisfaction, camaraderie, etc. On the other hand, successful recruiters exhaust the probe step. They dig deep and look for multiple reasons why the Air Force Reserve opportunity offers compelling value. Remember, always try to uncover at least 3 stars. Shoot for 5, never settle for just 1. And number 20, they fail to ask for the commitment. In the final analysis, some recruiters fail to ask someone to join the Air Force Reserve. You must be successful at this. You've got to be confident enough to say to someone, "When would you like to take your test and physical? When are you interested in attending basic training? When would you like to enlist?" We teach recruiters to use the assumptive close. If you're working with a qualified applicant who trusts you, if you've asked the right questions, made the correct recommendations, and offered third-party evidence to support your recommendations, you have every right to believe that applicant will follow your lead when you say something like, "Okay, let's get the enlistment paperwork started." Now, this has been a long audio, and we're not trying to summarize it. But we are going to urge you to go back through this segment and listen to it over and over again. These are the 20 most common reasons why we've seen recruiters fail. So what does that mean? It's pretty simple. Don't do these things, and you're well on your way to becoming or remaining successful.